This morning's first reading is from Isaiah 63. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading this morning is from Hebrews 2. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them siblings, saying, I will proclaim your name to my siblings in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who for all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his siblings in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he's able to help those who are being tested. Word of God, word of life. Now please rise for our gospel's acclamation.
Gospel according to Matthew. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for a child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem, who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. And when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. And there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that he had been spoken through the prophets, so what he had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Well, Happy New Year once again. I hope that this new year is a good one for everyone. Every year I pray that this year is going to be better than last year. And you know, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. Yesterday I was reading a Facebook post that said, escape from 2022 to 2023. James Heechee, artist and theologian, explained more in the detail of the Facebook post. He says, quote, "Wish all my relatives and friends living in China who are having great distress under COVID-19 could escape to the other side of peace." Amen. End quote. So folks, 2022 was a hard year for many communities, families, friends. I have read in the news, floods in India, Nigeria, the drought in Uganda, with more than 200 deaths, and earthquakes in Afghanistan, tropical storms, tens of thousands of deaths in the Russian-Ukrainian war that started last February, right? There are multiple civil wars going on and terrorist uprisings in Africa and in the U.S., in the United States. We have social unrest, pandemic still, inflation, violence, riots, shootings, and political divisiveness. Hard to have some hope for the new year, isn't it? And I tell you what, it was really hard to read this gospel. This violent story that happens in this gospel is really so hard to read. King Herod, infuriated and raged, and orders all the children in and around Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, to be killed. And there are days, like when I was reading this gospel and watching the news sometimes, when I think to myself, what is going on in the world? And then when I read the gospel, I think, what was going on in the world when Jesus was born, right? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, has anything changed? There's been some changes, I'll tell you about that. But in Matthew 2, 1 through 12, which is the verses right before our verses today, the wise men, who are probably astrologers, upon seeing the Messiah's star rise up in the sky at his birth, they travel to Bethlehem to honor and give their respect to the newborn king. That still happens today. We travel to the hospital to pay our respects and give presents to those who have just been born, sometimes even when they come home. But King Herod tells them, go find this child and tell me where to find him, because I want to do the same. I want to pay my respects also. But you know what? This was not his intention, because we read further in the text and that Herod is referenced in this scripture as being frightened. It makes me think, well, what exactly is he frightened of? And I thought about this. Maybe he is afraid that his throne is at risk. Maybe if I were a king, I would be scared too. If somebody comes to me and says, a king has been born in your city. Folks, he was so upset that he became very destructive. He has, and I'm imagining this in my head when I'm reading, but I'm imagining that he has a battle going on inside of him, and that he's going to persecute anybody who opposes him. It's one of those days to stay out of the office. And at this point, he's raging so much that he kills all the babies, believing maybe, possibly, that they are a threat. Perhaps, right? Perhaps. But also, perhaps, King Herod is having a very difficult time with change. You know, change can be painful. I'm just putting myself in his shoes for a quick second. That, you know, when things don't go my way, I kind of get a little mad. And I might even throw a temper tantrum. And I think kind of that's what he's doing here, right? Change can be painful. It invokes lament and loss. And maybe King Herod is desperately attempting to hold on to his way of doing things, his way of being, his way of ruling. I mean, after all, a child king becomes an alternative ruler for his people. It's a possibility. Sometimes I don't like the old way of doing things either, but new has to be born. You know, I'm going to give you an example. I really thought on some level, I was probably lying to myself, I thought on some level that the pandemic would end at some point. And I thought that church pews would fill up again and that people would go back to work. And the world would carry on like it always has. But the communities will never be the same. Communities that are experiencing widespread devastation, destruction, and death, right? And maybe you've experienced some loss this past year, or maybe you thought the same thing. You know, Herod engages in this denial, I think, possibly. He thinks that killing is the best way to ensure his rule. But then we go to verse 17, where there is Rachel's grief and lament is very evident that by killing his own people's children, Herod has lost all power, respect, and his kingdom, right? For Rachel, she is expressing her pain and grief, and this presents an opportunity, the newness that is present with Jesus' birth. Because, folks, when pain is internalized and recognized and affirmed, there is external change that occurs. Jesus presents an alternate reality, a Nazarene, marginalized geographically as a Galilean from Nazareth. Jesus is able to feel the hurts of other marginalized people. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? I've got three golden rules. I know I used to only be familiar with one golden rule, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But I really feel like love your neighbor as yourself, this whole alternate reality or message of this new baby coming is can be summed up with these three, because sometimes we don't know what that looks like, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes I don't know. Do good to others as you would like good to be done to you. Do good to others. regard bad for yourself whatever you regard bad for others, and accept from others which you would like others to accept from you. And these three Herod did not follow. Right? And he loses his kingdom. So when we have the capacity to get unnumb, like Rachel, right? Rachel is feeling the loss of her children. When we have the capacity to get unnumb and feel the hurts around the world and feel the hurts of your neighbors and feel the hurts of your community, feel your own hurts, then we have the ability, the radical ability, to face change, external change. And suddenly, there is an alternate reality, like Rachel's, that changes our awareness and community, social arrangements. I just want to try something really quick. I just want you to close your eyes. We're going to face something right now. And you're not going to say anything out loud. Just close your eyes. In this new year, we want to let something go. So I want you to think back through your year and just find one thing that you regret. Just one. One thing. You don't have to say it out loud. Just know it. And then I just want you to breathe deep in. Out. In and out. And now I want you to do what God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us, does for you. And that is to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself from whatever that was. And know that this new year will bring something new. You want to open your eyes. The good news is that we don't have to do it alone, right? First of all, Jesus has already forgiven us. God has forgiven us. We're only doing and confirming within ourselves, because we are normally in denial about being forgiven, right? The good news is that we don't have to feel alone or solve our hurts and the hurts around the world alone, because hope has come. A child born, Emmanuel, God with us. Take some time to reflect this week. Reflect on 2022. Be intentional. Discover your biggest risk. What did you learn? What do you want to leave behind? But in closing, I'd like to read a poem, Blessing, by Jan Richardson. And I'm sorry about the Facebook thing. This is another post on Facebook, but I cannot help it. This just brightened my world when I read this. So I'm hoping it'll brighten your world. Every bright thing, a blessing. If I could write this blessing backwards, I would begin it at the end. I would start it from that far place where I could show you every bright thing that lies ahead of you. Radiant in its wholeness and complete in its own joy. But for now, all I can offer is this blessing that begins here. In the gap, in the hollow, in the hope that tells us this is how a blessing becomes. This is how a blessing is made. from the broken things we travel with from here.